From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm John Gatto. We continue now with our debate between the candidates in the 31st State Senate District, encompassing much of western Wisconsin's Monroe, Jackson, Trempealeau, and Buffalo counties, as well as part of Eau Claire County. Voters choose November 2nd between the incumbent, Democratic State Senator Kathleen Vinehout of Alma, and her Republican challenger, small businessman and former mayor Ed Thompson of Toma. Our moderator this hour is former La Crosse Tribune political reporter Dick Mile, who leads the conversation and Ed Thompson into discussing what the candidates have in mind for providing health insurance to low-income residents or small businesses who want to provide coverage to their employees.
First of all, you have to find out what business can afford to do. Mm-hmm. To mandate to business on what they're going to have to do when they can barely survive now is incredible. And I know, you know, I have 35 employees and I don't provide health insurance. Mm-hmm. And I wish I could. I wish the money was there that would be possible. But if I have to come up with $200 or $300 an employee or $100 an employee, I don't know where that money is going to come from.
Would it be helpful if you could join a large pool that might bring the cost down?
It never has worked. Every time that we've ever tried pool, every time we've taken the small schools and went to the bigger schools, the cost have went up. This idea that we're going to do it cheaper by putting it into a bigger group, it's just another mandate then. Then we have the state force telling us where we have to buy it from, and if we don't buy it from there, it's going to cost us more. Right now, we have to set up with employees personal savings account. We have to work with different ways that they can afford their insurance. But we cannot force that on the back of business because business mm-hmm. can't afford it. And unless you're in business, unless you do it, theoretically you can come up with many ways a business can do it. But in the fact of doing a small business or running a small bar or running a restaurant or running any type of thing, the money is not there to do this.
Or running a dairy farm.
Or running a dairy farm or any other type of small operation. And it's not in the big business either, because as soon as you start whacking guys like Harley Davidson, they'll say, wait a minute, we'll just build another factory or we'll move out of here. And you just can't do it on the backs of this big business. And big business is not the answer to bail us out. Big business is the answer to get revenue in the state, to get jobs working so there's more money coming in.
So you would be opposed to?
I'd be opposed to that.
Okay.
Ed, I'm not suggesting that you have to buy insurance for your 35 people. I'm not mandating anything. I'm saying if you wanted to, or if that person was buying it by themselves, that they would be able to go in to this website that I described, and they would have options. One of the options would be, not could be, but would be a high deductible plan and a health savings account. Yeah. So basically, the mandate doesn't go on the business at all. I'm saying that if companies are going to sell health insurance here in Wisconsin, that they, to small businesses, that they would follow rules. Now, what I'm suggesting, it was already done in Utah. Utah is a very Republican state.
Well, see, that's what gets me, this Republican-Democrat nonsense. I don't care about that. I'm not Republican or Democrat or trying to throw that back and forth. The bottom line is we can't afford, business can't afford it. And
we need to fix it.
No, yeah, but not by government. If government was running the breweries, we'd be paying $100 a six-pack. That's what I'm talking about. It's crazy. Once government comes in and thinks they can come up with a better place to buy it, they'll have people getting paid. The heads of that will have to get wages, and then they'll have to determine the wage. I've never seen government do anything yet efficiently.
I'm not saying
that. I certainly have never seen them done anything economically.
I'm not saying that government is running the healthcare system. What I'm saying is that government is the referee. The companies themselves are competing. This is the American way. Companies competing yeah. against each other. But
boy,
somebody
has to have him
to
as the referee in a boxing match. I'll tell you that. The government. I can't imagine a worse referee than the government. The government is, as far as I'm concerned, the government has to get out of the business, has to get out of trying to fix all problems. The government, if the government were trying to be the answer for everything and start trying to take care of what government is supposed to take care of, the roads, the infrastructure that it is stealing all the money from for all this other stuff, then maybe we would have an opportunity to keep business in here and keep people able to buy their own insurance. Just to offer them another place to buy it, you know, if they can find it cheaper there, fine. But I would bet my bottom dollar that there's not one thing the government would ever come up with that would be cheaper than regular businesses trying to make a buck.
But you know right now that people, right, average people, can't afford health insurance if they're small businesses. They pay way too much for crappy coverage. We need to figure out a way to level the playing field between small business and large business.
See, that's our total difference right there in a nutshell, Kathleen. You think the government should come in and be the answer. I think government should get their big hind end out of the way and not be the answer.
To the point that small businesses
are prejudices?
No, I absolutely
don't. I don't want government fixing up a big place for me to buy. Government starting another agency, because where is the money going to come for that? First of all, we got to get our budget back in order, and you can't get that back in order by starting another agency, by paying more people to do it. That's just another cost to government, and there will be people that will have to run it, and there will have to be people that will be saying who's eligible and who's not eligible, and there will be another mess like they've done in everything else. I absolutely don't believe the government should have their nose in health care. I think that they got to do a much better job than they're doing. At 65, I told you, the seniors are off. They've paid their fair share.
Ed, what about the VA system? Should the government get out of that?
Thank God that the veterans have earned that. Praise the Lord that the veterans have done that, that they've done. Well, I think the government is the VA are veterans. VA, the first word in the Veterans Administration is veterans. These guys, these soldiers and these sailors and these Air Force people, they've been in the service. They've earned that right. That government, and thank God that they do, because there's, you know, thank God for me right now. Thank God for me right now because I'm using it.
Right.
Praise the Lord for
so
that.
So you're using government health care.
That's a good thing.
Huh?
I'm using.
I was in the Navy. I served. I don't know if you did, but I know I did. My whole point is, thank God for that, but that doesn't mean that we have to start another agency, because the veterans have earned the right to be in the Veterans Administration. The veterans earned that.
Of course, but your point earlier was that the government cannot run a health care system, yet they're running the VA.
Well, you know, the government, I would say the VA is a tremendous service. Mm-hmm. It's a tremendous job, and they're doing a fantastic job. I really hope that I hope they keep on doing it, because I'm sure they're going to be needing it in a couple weeks, maybe in 1 week. But and they're doing a great job.
Let's back up on that, because you did announce in yesterday and today that you've got pancreatic cancer and you're going to need to deal with it. What happens? What happened?
I got sick.
No, I mean, what, you're going to need surgery?
Let me tell you the story.
Okay.
I've been campaigning hard all summer. I've walked in over 40 parades. Kathleen has been on in them too. She's had knee surgery. She had to have a knee replaced. But for myself, I had developed diverticulitis, which is a disease of the colon, and I was, you know, working through it, and I thought it was a problem. But all of a sudden, I had a real problem with my urine had turned very dark. It was almost a purple color. And I went in Thursday, and they said, get to Madison. So Friday, I was in Madison in the hospital. And on Tuesday, they diagnosed me with pancreatic cancer. There's a tumor at the bottom of my pancreas that's blocking my bile. And the good news is, they did many other tests since then, and it has not advanced into any of the other organs. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'll be going under to find out if it has advanced into any of the other organs. And if it has, then we'll have to make other plans. But if it has not, then there's a surgery called the Whipple surgery, and you're about 8 hours on the operating table minimum. And it's a very intensive surgery. Kathleen's mother went through it, and so I'm very concerned about it. But all signs are saying now that they can remove it, and I right now I can hardly wait to get into it and get it done. As much as I dread the surgery because I know how painful and how severe a surgery it is, but and it has to be dealt with right away. So hopefully it'll be done next week.
Well, we're all pulling for you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Catherine. And I know the sorrow. I talked to Kathleen about it and how she was with her own, with her mother every single day as she was in the bed. And she knows that it's a very thing. Her mother.
And our thoughts are, and prayers are with you
yeah,
and
thank you.
Your family.
I appreciate that. And thank God for the VA. And thank God that I was in the Navy.
Yeah.
Thank God I was
thank
in the Navy.
God.
We did mention the five parts of government that are most expensive. And one of those is corrections and courts. In La Crosse County, where we are, the county government built a new jail 10 years ago, and it had to be added to just recently. They're still working on it. Other counties are going through the same thing. Monroe County is arguing
yeah.
over where to
they
put it.
And,
yeah.
Trempealeau, Eau Claire.
Yep. Why is it growing so much, and are there other things we could be doing to deal with crime, to deal with prisoners, that's less expensive or might work just as well?
When we look at our numbers here in Wisconsin and compare us to our neighbor, Minnesota, we have almost three times the number of people incarcerated in this state than Minnesota, with a similar crime rate, similar population. And part of the problem goes back to the early part of this decade when the legislature decided to pass something called truth in sentencing, which basically said that if you're sentenced to 43 years, you're going to serve 43 actual years. They did the first part of truth in sentencing, but they never did the second, which was to go back and look at the penalties and see if the penalties made any sense. And so right now we have a large number of people that are incarcerated in this state that have problems. And some of those problems have led to crime, but some of those problems may be solved in a way that is different had that person been incarcerated in Minnesota. If you look at our prison population, roughly about 70% of the prisoners have alcohol and drug problems. What Minnesota does is create a community infrastructure to help people deal with alcohol and drug problems, both through intensive inpatient and through sobriety houses or community support. We're beginning to look at some of those alternatives here in Wisconsin. And one of the most effective alternatives for people who meet very strict rules is what we are calling drug courts. And these drug courts have been effective in both La Crosse and Eau Claire. And when Ed said the situation is never improved by throwing money at it, the first thing I thought about were these drug courts, because this is the part of the budget that I believe should be expanded. If you look at the cost of treatment, it's about $3,000 a year. If you look at the cost of incarceration, it's about $30,000 for the average prisoner. So we need to figure out a way to get smarter about crime and smarter about those people who are incarcerated. And I believe there's some very specific things that we can do, and helping to fund drug courts across the state is one of those first steps that I believe we need to take.
Sure glad I am not in jail.
It's a tough place to be.
Yeah. I worked 5 years in the federal penitentiary. I started as a hack and I ended up as a cook foreman. So I know that. And there's lots of things that Kathleen said that I agree with. It's impossible for me to believe that we're three times worse in Wisconsin than they are in Minnesota. And yet we got three times as many inmates than they do in Minnesota. So there's lots of points that you make. And I think truth in sentencing definitely has to be looked at. I think good time should be. There's lots of things that we have to look at, but I think the problem with corrections is more at the top. I think it's top heavy. When we had I had a meeting with the union people of the prison in New Lisbon not too long ago, and we had a really good visit. And they were more concerned with the excess spending at the top that they felt was not needed. You know where that is again. Like mayor, you'd have to take it apart. You have to find out. You have to test every job to see how much is needed, if you can cut, if you can't. I like the idea of being able to treat people on the outside, if they can behave themselves, if they take care of themselves. Anybody that does violates it in any way should go back and get time added on to them. So I think that if you look at it intelligently, and there are some people that you just can't let out. There are some people in prison that I fear when their date is up, because they become so acclimated to prison life and prison is a way of life for a lot of these people. It's almost a welfare system sometimes, the prison is. Come winter, there's a lot more people trying to get into jail than you would ever imagine. You know, it's a lot easier spending time in jail than sleeping on the streets. So I think the Minnesota has a program that we should look at. I think that every other state that has a program that does it less than us, we should look at. But to say specifically how we are going to incorporate that, I don't think anybody can say that. I mean, I can't say it until I look at all the issues, personally.
How about infrastructure? How do we fix roads and bridges and sewer systems and other...
Well, there you need money. if the one place is you need money, you need money to fix your infrastructure. And you can't steal the money or raid the money or borrow the money from an fund. Over $200 million of our that we've already paid the gas tax for. The citizens of the state of Wisconsin have paid that tax, put in that thing to take care of the infrastructure. And when they use that to plug holes in the other budget, then we have to pay interest on that debt, which is 27% of that transportation fund. So a quarter out of every buck that we've already paid in has to go to pay for interest for the money they borrowed. Then does that make any kind of business sense at all? Absolutely not. Obviously, if they needed the money to borrow to plug a hole, they shouldn't have spent the money that they needed it for, because that money was put aside specifically for the infrastructure, and they just keep robbing it and robbing it and passing budgets with red ink.
Kathleen, what about infrastructure in general, and how do you feel about taking money from a fund that's designated for something else?
Well, first of all, in the red ink part, we have to, by statute, balance the budget. So we don't have the red ink in the terms of actually balancing the budget. That, you're right. I do... and have advocated that for keeping the funds in the transportation fund, we actually saw an increase of 10% in GPR dollars, general tax dollars, that went into the transportation fund this year. The Senate Democrats have fought against all of the raids. We fought against the governor. Unfortunately, the governor vetoed a lot of what we did to try and protect the transportation fund. And I think to solve the problem, one of the things we have to do is to tighten up the veto power of the governor. And we did have a bill that Senator Risser wrote late in the session that we passed that would address some of those problems. We did have recently a bill that passed into law that was on the ballot that people tightened up the what was called the Frankenstein veto. But that tightening wasn't tight enough. And so what we should do is tighten up further that line item veto power of the governor so that we can't do what's happened in the past. And it's happened under both Democrats and Republicans. Probably the worst it happened was in 2007 with the fight in the budget there that the money went into education. But when I look at the problems we've had recently with the floods, and I've spent a lot of time driving town roads in the last month with the two flood events of the 13th of August and then the 23rd and 24th of September, what I found is that the roads and especially the rural bridges are in great have great problems, and we really need to figure out how to get those dollars to the towns. And we've had some improvements in the infrastructure in the cities, but we haven't seen it in the rural areas, and this is really high on my priority list to try and figure out how to fix.
Any closing thoughts, Kathleen?
closing thoughts for all of our time here
today. For all of our time, all of these issues.
Well, I would say when we're thinking through what needs to be done here, we have to remember in this election, we have to remember that we are at a crossroads. We do have significant decisions that have to be made. And when we look at some of those decisions, much of our discussion today has been about spending and about taxes. And we have to talk realistically and specifically about spending and about taxes. Not all spending is good and not all taxes are bad. And all of us, and if Arcadia didn't tell us this, nothing will. All of us need and rely on public services. And what government does is what we do as a people, what we do together, what we can't do by ourselves. It helps make our communities a better place to live and work and raise a family and run a business. And instead of, let's be serious about how government runs. Let's be serious about being effective and efficient. And this takes a lot of homework. It takes knowing how policies function. And we can't be afraid to take on entrenched interests and change the way government works. And I learned that when I took on the state and wanted to audit the Medicaid program. And I learned it when I took on my own party and the governor and wanted to stop what I thought was a misconceived and poorly capitalized program. But we can make changes. We can. And I've talked about today some very specific changes that we've made, and I'd like to continue to do that.
Right now, we're the state of Wisconsin is in the worst shape financially it's ever been in. I don't care what anybody says. We got a $62 billion budget, and we got a $2.5 billion deficit. That's the biggest we've ever had. This is caused by excessive spending, more government programs, more government mandates. The last I was governor, a mayor of a small city, and I know that the mandates, that was a Freudian slip. I absolutely know that you cannot continue down this trail. You have to make cuts. I did it as mayor, and I would do it as a state senator. I absolutely firmly believe that government is out of control, and unless we take our state back, it's going to be too late.
Ed Thompson is a Republican from Toma. He's challenging incumbent Democrat Kathleen Vinehout of Alma for the seat she currently holds. That's the 31st state Senate seat in western Wisconsin. Our moderator was former La Crosse Tribune political reporter Dick Mile. And for this week, that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. Our production team includes Dick Mile, Joe Heim, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. There was much more to this conversation and this debate, and you can hear it in its entirety on our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll also find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau, as well as network news from Wisconsin Public Radio and National Public Radio. And if you'd like to comment on this or other editions of Newsmakers, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at our website, wpr.org/lacrosse. Next week on Newsmakers, we'll feature candidates in the 94th and 95th state assembly districts. Join us then.